difference.
YM Radio in Inglewood, it's time for The School of the Prophets with Evangelist Stephen Vinci, teaching on the end times. School of the Prophets is being brought to you by Inner City Missions, Incorporated, founded by Evangelist Stephen Vincent. The website for Inner City Missions is www.inner-citymissions.org. So grab a pen and paper, get ready to study with Evangelist Stephen Vincent following the song. I'm Phyllis Banks.
You're gonna make it. God's gonna see you through. Hold your head up. Put a smile on your face. This is another test. It won't last always. So get ready.
Get ready
for your blessing.
For your blessing.
Get ready.
Get ready
for your miracle.
For your miracle.
Say that with me. God's got a blessing.
God's got a blessing.
If you really believe it, God's got a blessing.
God's got a blessing.
Come on. God's got a blessing.
God's got a blessing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on. God's got a blessing.
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 With your name. God's got a blessing.
God's got a blessing.
Everybody. God's got a blessing.
God's got a blessing.
You say God's got a blessing.
God's got a blessing.
Come on. Everybody say God's got a blessing.
God's got a blessing.
Come on, Jay. God's got a blessing.
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 With your name.
Amen. God has a blessing with your name on it and with mine, too. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Welcome to this week's edition of the School of the Prophets, and I invite you to join in the class. We are studying the end times, and again this week we're looking at the first chapter of the book of Revelation as we make our approach to dealing with the second and third chapters of the book of Revelation, which contain the seven letters to the seven churches. And we will detail for you certain events and certain facts that you need to know before we really launch into those letters in truth. But for the sake of those who were not with us the last time we were together. Once again, in the book of Revelation, the first chapter, we're looking at the vision which John saw, the first vision of Christ, which he saw and was commanded to record, and he did. He describes the vision of Christ, which he saw in verses 13 through 16 of the first chapter. We've looked at that in some detail several times. We won't do that again today. But John sees the risen Christ in apocalyptic images, standing in the midst of the church, which is represented by seven golden lampstands. And he has in his right hand seven stars, which we are told in verse 19, they are the messengers or the angels of the seven churches. So John sees Christ set to judge the church. And as Peter told us, the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. We, the church, are the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth, those who are in Christ. And before the Lord judges the world, which we'll see in verse in chapter 6 through 19 of the book of Revelation, before he judges the world, he's going to judge the church. And the instrument of the judgment upon the church is the word of God. It is not the vials and seals and trumpet judgments that he will utilize in judging the world. But here we're being judged by a faithful and merciful high priest. He's dressed in high priestly garments in John's vision, the vision of Christ which John saw and recorded. He has high priestly garments on, although he is set to judge. So we know that his judgment of the church will be tempered with mercy, and in faithfulness he will judge us so that we will not be condemned, that is, damned with the world. And so it behooves you and I, if we are studying with me in this lesson today, to prepare to lay to heart the word of God that we hear. I do not come here to teach the Bible for the sake of Bible study, even though that is very important and very enriching to anyone who really receives the word. But the reason why we have this program, the School of the Prophets, is that we want to examine what the Hebrew prophets said about our generation. Indeed, the Hebrew prophets, beginning with Moses, to Jesus, to John the Revelator, these all had more to say about our day, our generation, than they had to say about any other event other than Christ Jesus himself. And so we are studying what they had to say. We started with John the Revelator, the last of these writing prophets, who wrote the last book that is in the canon of Scripture, that is considered authoritative, inspired of God, without error in its original manuscript. This book here is the last word from God to the world and to the church. John the Revelator writes it, records it, so that we might be saved. And that's why I'm here, that we might be saved. All who are under sound of my voice, you that are not saved, I encourage you to listen and listen closely. You who believe you are saved, I encourage you to listen and to listen carefully, because those of us who know the Lord, you better understand that we are responsible for the truth that we know. We are responsible for the light that we have. We must live in that light and live according to the truth that we know. Not the truth that we do not know, but the truth that we do know. We are responsible to live up in that light, and God will judge us based upon how well we live in the light of the truth that we now have. But as we approach the seven letters to the seven churches, let me set up this study like this. Jesus stands in the midst of seven golden lampstands, which in verse 19 we're told, that is verse 20, we're told represents the seven churches. These were historical churches in present-day Turkey, ancient Asia Minor. They were in somewhat of a semicircle within 150 miles of each other. Why these seven churches, when there were hundreds of churches throughout the Roman Empire by the time this book of Revelation was written near the end of the first century? Why these seven churches? We do not know. But these are the ones that the Lord chose, and perhaps because they have in them conditions that would be predominant in the church in any age, at any generation, in any culture, we are giving these seven as that word of judgment from the Lord to the church, so that people today that are in similar churches or have similar conditions in the assemblies where they worship, they might receive that word and personalize it and become an overcomer. Whoever believes in Christ Jesus has overcome the world, as we are told. But there are many in the church, the professing church. There are many who go to worship services, who are not saved. I said there are many who profess Christ, who go to worship services, who are not saved. There are many who have been baptized in water, who have their name on a church roster, who are not saved. There are many today that have a personal relationship and a personal religion, if you please, which is of their own concoction, their own creation, and they live according to their own ethical standards, in consideration that maybe Christianity is true too, and they'll go to church, but they still have their own standards whereby they live. These people are not saved. This is a question of life and death, eternal life, eternal death, salvation, damnation. This is the issue of life. This is the issue of your existence. Where will you spend eternity? You are an eternal being, an eternal spirit. You will have conscious life forever. That's a fact. Yes, many believe and wish that death would end it all, as probably did Michael Jackson, who could not sleep unless he had apparently some very potent narcotics. And yet, perhaps because those drugs would remove his conscious thought, any dreaming and so forth, he wanted that. But that is not death. Death is not like that. You have conscious life. You know who